Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
If we want to see South Sudan built as a nation for Christ, we need to see healthy churches. We need to see healthy families. Well, how is that going to be done? Well, of course, pastoral training is huge, but healthy families is going to be so rooted in the next generation as well.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. On today's Mission Compass, we want to update you on what Galcom is doing around the world and also connect with a ministry partner who, like Galcom, is making waves. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, keep listening. We may have an answer for you. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead.
Well, thank you, Ron. Yeah, we have a great program here, and I think you got a few years on me, so I don't know if you kind of grew up watching the same Saturday morning cartoons as I did. One that I always wanted to watch, I think it's because my mom didn't like me to watch it, was G.I. Joe. Too many guns, all that fighting and shooting. You know, we didn't have toy guns in the house either, which is interesting. Now I've got a son in the military. But I digress. G.I. Joe, at the end of every program, they'd have a little PSA for kids, like, you know, don't talk to strangers or, you know, the safety things about crossing the street, whatever. And they would always finish with this line, because knowing is half the battle. Well, on this week's Mission Compass, it's all about getting you some information, because knowing is half the battle. If you're going to act on anything, you got to know the situation. Last week, we started talking to Andrew Brown, our partner in South Sudan, a ministry called Every Village, about what they're doing there. What is the situation in South Sudan? We need knowledge so we can make good decisions. How do we pray for the situation? How do we support the work? Maybe what can I do practically? Faye Watford, our communications team lead, is going to join us with another profile of an unreached people group. And I can't stress this enough. There's 17,000 different people groups out there. Yeah, only 190-something countries, but all these unique cultures and languages and people groups with unique beliefs. Religious beliefs. And so she's going to join us again. We've been doing this now for about a year. She's coming in, and from the joshuaproject.net website that we use every day here at Galcom as part of our morning prayer time, we pray for an unreached people group. We don't know who's out there that needs Jesus Christ. And so Joshua Project's done a great job gathering statistics, you know, the population, where they are, what country they're in, some of the unique things about the geography and culture that kind of dictates their belief system. And then we pray. And we also, what resources are available? That's important for us here at Galcom, because we're always looking for partners. So if we see that there's a gap somewhere that we can fill, then we can reach out to another ministry and help out. And we have partnerships with people like Global Recordings Network. We always look to see, hey, do they got Global Recordings, some of the Bible story in there, or the Jesus film, the audio for the Jesus film that Campus Crusaders made. They call it The Story of Jesus, Dramatized Gospel Luke. Do they have that? Well, if we know that those resources are there, we can put them on our Galcom solar-powered radios, audio Bibles, find a partner on the ground, and equip them with the tools, right? Knowledge is power. So we know the situation. We can make good decisions on how to reach out to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what this is all about. The Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. You have a part to play. We want you to partner with us in getting the gospel around the world to people who desperately need to know about Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, and that they can receive salvation by faith, be reconciled to God, and have eternal life. That's what this is all about. So we're glad you joined us. We hope we've got lots of great information to get you involved. Before we go any further, every week, Bonnie Salem from Guidelines Ministry joins us with a quick devotional. It's called Reset. We reset our mind, our thoughts, get focused on God before we start talking about missions. Bonnie, take it away.
Do you enjoy sitting at airports, people watching? I'm Bonnie Salem with Reset. Spend a few moments in an international terminal of an airport, and you'll be convinced of the diversity of humanity. Listen, and you'll hear a multitude of languages being spoken. Some melodic, some guttural, others with lots of clicking consonants. There are over 7,000 living languages today, and God speaks every one of them with enthusiasm and creativity. When Jesus, the Son of God, was born, his birth had been foretold to the Jewish people by many prophets, but God also announced his son's birth to others in different languages. Distant people groups who read the night sky and studied the language of the stars heard God speak clearly, telling them a great king had been born. Again, when God gave his people his Holy Spirit, he made known that the good news about Jesus is for everyone. The Bible book of Acts tells the story, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. Here's what it meant. God wants the invitation to know and worship Jesus to be given to all people in every language. God, the originator of language, wants every person to hear the message that He has come near to us to rescue and restore all of us. Whatever your language, God wants to speak to you of His love. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, if you're a regular listener to the Mission Compass, you've gotten used to us talking about unreached people groups on a regular basis, bringing awareness to maybe somebody you've never heard of, a culture, a tribal group you've never heard of before. And so Faye Watford, our communications team lead, has done her research and is ready to present to us someone else that we need to be praying for that need to hear about Jesus. Faye, who do you have today?
Yeah, Tim. So I know that you're going to be concluding your conversation with Andrew Brown of Every Village later on in the show. And Every Village works almost exclusively in South Sudan. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about some of the people groups there, especially the unreached group of the Sudanese Arab.
Excellent. Yeah, there's actually a lot of different tribal groups in South Sudan. And unfortunately, that has led to a lot of conflict, a lot of war, a lot of civil war. First with the north, where the Sudanese Arabs would be, and now just in South Sudan between Dinka, Nuer, and other tribal groups. So this people group needs a lot of prayer. This whole country needs a lot of prayer. So tell us, what's some of the stats, some of the information that we need to know about South Sudan and about the Sudanese Arabs?
So South Sudan is ranked as the least developed country in the world. It's also the newest country in the world, and it is also the poorest country in the world when you look at the earnings of the average person. So I'm thinking that's probably why Every Village is so focused on this country. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. They saw the need. Actually, it started in Houston. A whole bunch of refugees from South Sudan were brought over to the U.S. and the government put them in Houston and in Nashville for whatever reason. It was local believers there that started the outreach. When there was relative peace, I was going to say peace, but it's never really been full peace in the country there, they started to reach back into the country to rebuild South Sudan from after, you know, decades and decades of civil war. And as you said, they are really left behind. They have third lowest literacy. They're the second most rural population in the world after Mongolia. Little infrastructure. Andrew Brown actually told me, I don't know if it was in our interview, but there's only 200 miles of paved road in the entire country. So there's just nothing there. They need help. And radio is a great way to reach all these areas where people can't get to, water wells. So that's why they're focusing there. There's such a great need. So tell us more then about the part that the Sudanese Arabs play in this as we're praying for them today.
Well, what I had learned when I was doing some reading about this is that since 1983, the conflict in the Sudan, when it was one country between the Arabic North and the Christian South, resulted in more than 2 million deaths. So then in 2011, Sudan split into two countries, the Arabs in Sudan and the African people in South Sudan. So as you can imagine, the Arabs who remain in what is now South Sudan are not popular with the African population. There's 336,000 Sudanese Arabs, and 98% of them are Islamic. So their lifestyle, some Sudanese Arabs, they live in small rural villages. Those are clusters of mud brick homes with dirt floors, and they grow their food. They grow grains, vegetables, and cotton. They raise livestock. And all of these, of course, are for their food or for trade. And although farming is the chief occupation of the villagers, some of them have jobs as skilled carpenters, tailors, religious leaders, or barbers.
It's interesting, this group of Islamic believers, the 60% plus of the South are Christians. The remaining are kind of traditional animistic beliefs, tribal beliefs. So they are really outliers. So you mentioned 98% of these Sudanese Arabs are Islamic. How devout are they? Oftentimes when we get into areas like this, there's a lot of tribalism, a lot of shamanism kind of intertwined with it.
Right. So the Sudanese Arabs are Sunni Muslims, and most Arabic people who follow Islam are Sunni Muslims. It's one of the primary cultural characteristics of most Arabs, and this group is very devoted to their faith. Although boys and girls, they may be raised together when they're young, they are actually treated quite differently. Mothers show great affection towards the boys, pampering them and responding to their every wish. Girls are shown some affection, but they're not pampered. The boys are taught by their fathers to obey and respect older males. Girls are taught the value of obedience to their future husbands. And according to Islamic law, a man may have up to 4 wives. Rules concerning marriage and divorce, they're upheld in this people group in accordance with what is written in the Quran.
So no cultural things here. This is kind of Sharia Islamic belief very much permeates their whole culture.
Yes.
So then what is the most pressing need as we look to show God's love? We were chatting off air about not converting them. We want to show God's love. So what is their greatest need that we could love them?
Well, of course, they do lack physical provisions. But even more than that, Arabs need to hear about the saving power of Jesus. They have some Christian resources available to them, but the churches, the Christian churches, are often closed or destroyed by the constant fighting that continues to this day. Converts from the Muslim faith are also not well accepted, and they're viewed with some suspicion by church members in South Sudan.
Yeah, I'm really happy that we're partnering with Andrew Brown with Every Village. We've been providing thousands, tens of thousands of radios, but we've also just done 1,000 radios with audio Bibles in them for pastors. A lot of pastors are non-literate. And we asked, what language do you want on it? And they actually asked for Sudanese Arabic on them. So a great way to reach out to this community. There is some interaction with the Arabic community. So let's pray that these Compass players with the audio Bible get into the hands of Sudanese Arabic people and not just the African and Dinka, Nuer, and other tribal groups. So but why don't we just pray now? Father, we just pray for these Sudanese Arabic people here in the South Sudan. Already because of the civil wars for decades, there's a cultural rift, there's a tension, even an animosity between the Dinka, the Nuer, and the Arabs. But Lord, we're commanded to love. And even though there's been atrocities committed, we're committed to love our enemies. And so we just pray for the church in South Sudan, that they would reach out in love and kindness and forgiveness. Lord, that your gospel would just go forth and bring peace and hope. Lord, we just pray for the salvation of many of these people who do not know the truth of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. For more on these people and many other people groups, check out joshuaproject.net. There you can sign up to receive an email every day on an unreached people group, and Joshua Project also has an app that you can download to your phone.
Excellent, Faye. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, last week we were talking with Andrew Brown, director of Every Village, one of our ministry partners in South Sudan. We talked about radios. We've sent about 170,000 radios to their network of pastors who've been distributed around. We talked about their water well ministry, providing vital infrastructure. And then we started talking about another branch of their ministry, training pastors, equipping pastors, and their latest pastor conference was really focusing on marriages and families. And before we recorded, we had, of course, trading some emails preparing for our conversation. And Andrew let me know that they were embarking on a new outreach to children, which really excited me because before I came to Galcom, I was involved in full-time Christian children's camping. And so thrilled that they're reaching out to kids. And so just picking up our conversation where we left off, radios, water, training pastors, and now equipping children.
Yeah, this was a gap that honestly I'd kind of identified for a number of years, but we didn't have a great answer. And we don't want to recreate the wheel. And so sometimes it just requires patience and prayer and waiting for God to open the doors for the right partnerships. Really thrilled that earlier this year, we got connected to Awana International. This is a ministry that's so well respected, been around since the 1970s. Even me as a kid, I went through the Awana program. And they're focused on weekly Bible clubs that emphasize a lot of scripture memory and, you know, just scriptural literacy, which I love. And my knowledge of scripture today has been formed through those early years under Awana's ministry. And in fact, I've got a couple other American team members that also went through Awana's kids. So we knew about the program and respected it. Well, they had a new South Sudan program, but they were looking for church partners, local partners who could catch the vision of Awana in the South Sudan context. And so who do they have through Every Village? Well, they've got a ministry who's connected to 895 churches.
Exactly.
And so Awana, their East African regional director, came with me to these conferences, and he did such a tremendous job sharing the vision of discipleship of the next generation and then sharing it, just an overview of what the Awana Ministries can provide. And then we kind of got some initial interest. And then a couple weeks ago, he went back into South Santa, all of our locations, and we launched our 1 year. It's a 1 year cycle, basically, where he kind of went even into deeper detail with church leaders of what does it look like to partner with Awana and start weekly Bible clubs in your communities. And so then in January, we're going to be launching our first training of these youth leaders. And God willing, we're looking at hundreds of Bible clubs being launched pretty quickly in January of next year through partnership with the churches. So this was really a culmination of years of prayer. If we want to see South Sudan built as a nation for Christ, we need to see healthy churches. We need to see healthy families. Well, how is that going to be done? Well, of course, pastoral training is huge for the healthy church component, but healthy families is going to be so rooted in the next generation as well. Just so grateful to God for bringing Every Village together with Awana, and really looking forward to it. And we believe in it so much that we're also going to be launching weekly Bible clubs on our compounds for the kids of our staff.
Nice.
Because we said, you know what? We want our staff to benefit directly from this as well. And so, man, I just can't wait.
I couldn't be happier that you're doing kids ministry. I was involved in Awana clubs. My father was the Canadian director for about 30 years. We grew up, all my kids grew up. I was able to sit at the bedside of my two oldest children and lead them to faith in Christ through the first book in Sparks. You know, they're learning John 3:16, 1 John 4:14. And that was those conversations was what led them to understand about faith and what Jesus did on the cross. And so I couldn't be happy that that's the tool you're using there. And hey, I'm still a Sparks leader today, you know, 30 years in, and I'm still sitting with a bunch of 5 to 7 year olds every Thursday night. But statistics show that if you get the gospel into a child's heart, you know, before the age of 14, if they come to faith in Christ, that's where they develop their worldview and they're set. And so all of this marriage and training you're doing now, it's going to be easier with the next generation because you're focusing on this. So we got pastor training, we got kids ministry, we got the radio ministry, we got the water wells. What's next for Every Village? Can you do more? Like, this is incredible, the amount of work you guys are doing.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And it's one that we've been asking internally as a team. And I'm really excited because along with our South Sudanese leaders and our board of directors as well, we've been in the midst of a strategic plan. And we really believe that God has positioned us now. We're 23 years old as a ministry, about to enter our 24th year. So we've been doing this for a while, working in South Sudan and learning what works well, what doesn't work well. And we really believe that God's brought us to a place of immense impact and deep relationships in that nation. And we know where we're headed. We know what we want to do. And to answer your question, you know, really water, radio, discipleship are the kind of the three areas. We just now are in the midst of looking at going a lot bigger and broader. We want to see this entire nation covered with access to the gospel through radio, access to safe water through well-maintenance programs, access to discipleship through healthy churches and communities. And so what does that look like? Well, we currently have 5 minister regions that are defined by the broadcast areas of our 5 radio towers. And as I mentioned, those reach about 3 million people. Well, we're looking at over the next several years to go from these 5 ministry locations to 20 ministry locations.
Wow.
Going from covering 3 million people to 8 million people in this nation. And wherever we build a radio station, we're going to bring the well maintenance programs. We're going to bring the discipleship programs and all of our partnerships, because we really do believe that it all needs to be centered around the local church. If the church is thriving, growing spiritually and in health and in social aspects, then communities are going to flourish and the nation ultimately will follow from that. And this is where, again, going back to the Awana partnership, we recognize we have a multi-generational vision here. We're able to reach this generation for sure. But the most important thing is seeing the next generation grow up in a totally different world than their parents, a world with spiritual education, biblical education, with peace, with stability, with access to water and basic resources, all these things. And so we're starting to lay that foundation that is going to certainly impact the 8 million people that we're covering, but it's going to have a far, far more reaching effort in the years to come, in the generations to come.
You mentioned earlier, when we were talking about the pastor training, I got distracted and asked something else about the unity within the denominations. But the big issue there in South Sudan has been the unity across the different tribal identities. You're building into the families, which builds into the communities. And as you just said, into the nation. You guys have been there before, when South Sudan really started as a country. And then you were there when it kind of devolved into anarchy between, you know, when the vice president and president started kind of fighting, and then it just devolved into this kind of anarchy, not even a civil war, really. Refugees back into Uganda, back into Kenya. Looking back, stepping back and thinking over the last 10 years, what you've seen, Are you seeing a trajectory towards peace, as you just said? Are you seeing a trajectory towards fulfillment of the promise of this Christian nation? It's officially a Christian nation.
Ooh, that's a tough one, Tim. I think the answer is yes, but it's with spiritual eyes, eyes of hope. I'll admit and say in 2016, I've been doing this for 16 years. So I've seen the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs of this nation before it was even a nation. It's only 12 years old. So I was working in South Sudan when it was still a region with under Sudan. And 2016 was a really bad year. It was hyperinflation, a lot of insecurity. The roads were so unsafe. The fighting had kind of fractures. There was all these sub-militia groups. And it was just a rough year. And I was still traveling to South Sudan during those years. You know, nothing has changed on that front. Really, the only thing that kept me out of South Sudan in the last 16 years was COVID. But but other than that, so I remember sitting and praying with our country director, Daniel Lawal, a South Sudanese man, one day. And we were just both discouraged about what we were seeing. And we were just thinking, man, we've been doing this for over 10 years at this point, and yet it seems to be getting worse. What are we doing? Are we doing something wrong? Or, you know, is this worth it? And obviously, I remember it. It's what, been 9 years later or 8 years later. And so vivid to me. But God just encouraged me in that moment. And that was when I really would say he helped me have a multi-generational view and realize, you know what, you're working for things that you won't even see the full fruit of in your lifetime. And that's okay. That's worth its while. That is what legacy and inheritance is all about, spiritual inheritance. And so the answer to your question is the same leaders that started the Civil War are still in place. After the vice president was kicked out for a number of years, he's back as vice president. Of course, there's four other vice presidents now. So there's one president, five vice presidents, but they're all the same characters. They've been around since the 1980s in fighting with one another. So on a macro level, there's not a lot of growth or improvement that we see. But man, on a community level and on a heart level, we're seeing communities and church leaders starting to be engaged in a way they've never been before. One thing I have to also remember myself and remind our listeners is almost all the Christians of today in South Sudan are first generation Christians. The gospel really only entered most of the areas we're working in the 1970s, 1980s. And so I could list off many of our church leaders and many of our staff members that were the first ones who received the gospel in their entire area. And then it spread from there. So the issues that the church is working through today in South Sudan are first generation church issues. And so we have to give it time for it to bear deeper roots and grow into maturity. And yet that's happening too. It's happening through ministries that are working in South Sudan faithfully day in and day out. And this is why, again, I say radio is one of the most important ministries that you can do in South Sudan today, because it is helping the church form biblical values and grow in biblical maturity. And so then when I answer your question with a different lens, and that is looking at the future, I really do see a lot of hope. I really do see that South Sudan can grow in peace and prosperity. And kids will grow up with a totally different world where suddenly, instead of the first response be hatred or mistrust between tribes, there's a willingness to work together. There's a level of forgiveness that's rooted in a culture and a society that understands the forgiveness we receive in Christ. And so that's what we're working towards. And again, I'd say with spiritual eyes, we have a lot of hope. And with earthly eyes, maybe it's a little harder some days than others.
Friends, the ministry is Every Village. You can visit them at everyvillage.org. Learn all about their work. It is a phenomenal work. And as you said, Andrew, I didn't realize, first generation Christians, we are planting seeds. We're cultivating this tree. You planted an oak tree, you don't see it at maturity. You know, that's going to happen a couple of generations. We are investing now in future generations in South Sudan. Join us in it. Visit everyvillage.org. Help us out at Galcom. Let's get more radios there. Let's help them with these 15 more radio stations, covering more, another 5 million people with the good news of Jesus Christ every day. Andrew, always inspired when I speak to you. We just praise God what he's doing in South Sudan through the ministry of Every Village. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.